Fourth and final hour, Dale and Holly with Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It's been a busy day today. We've had people taking shots at our little sidekick guy. I mean, that seemed a little harsh to me.
Unbelievable.
Evidently, now we got accused by our sister station. Why isn't it our brother station, by the way?
Don't know.
I always wondered that.
Sister and brother station.
I understand. I just always wondered.
Our sisters and brothers.
City of brotherly love. It should be our
brother. That's true.
Our sister station in Philadelphia.
Almost happened.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. So close.
In WIP in Philadelphia, their midday show. And tomorrow you're going to hear a simulcast between OMF and DeCamera and Richie tomorrow. I don't know what they call the show, but
what
those
times,
are the guys.
What time's that?
Played the NFL show.
Is that the entire show?
No. No, they'll never.
What time does it start? What time does the fun start?
I don't know the answer.
You got to tune in the whole time to find out.
But that's coming up tomorrow. So today, we talked a little bit about John Ritchie yesterday. He had some idiotic comments about, you know, the Patriots filmed their closed-door Philadelphia Eagles practices when no one on the planet has ever said that but John Ritchie.
He also had a Keefspiracy for the Ages saying that the Patriots won the Super Bowl in 01 because the league wanted them to because of 9/11. That was a John Ritchie take.
The same producer who's texting me, hey, please, could you come on our show, is trashing me and, you know, tweeting things out to me and trying to incite a riot.
Yeah, Rossi.
He's talking about Jason Rossi there.
Trying to incite a riot.
The nicest guy in the world.
Right. He's trying to get a riot going.
Keith really hurt him, too.
I didn't mean to.
Maybe he was on IR. I don't know. Yes, I was on IR, and I was there with the team. And I felt like I was a part of that team. I mean, I started the season, blew my knee out. I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, it's a dig telling me I didn't play in that game. It hurts me. It'll never stop hurting me.
You were on the team, though.
Yeah, I was on the team.
They were on the team, though.
It's not a dig. It was the fact of the matter. He didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Keith, you hurt him.
And I wasn't like, oh, he got benched. I was like, no, he was hurt. He was on the IR. I didn't mean to hurt him.
And it still hurts.
John, I'm sorry about that. So you were still a part of the team.
What we're saying is he's not James Devlin. Is that what we're saying here?
He didn't play in the game.
He just seems a little...
You were on the team, though!
I like that guy. Is that the co-host, or is that... Do they have a sidekick?
That's
like
that's the Keith.
Do they have
They have a producer who chimes in like we do.
Oh, got it.
Jason or something, but...
He was really fired up. He was really into that.
I think that's the host, though.
You were on the team, though!
DeCamera.
He changed his voice.
His voice changed.
Well, sometimes you do, too.
I do. Was he mimicking me?
Come on.
You're right. That's not him.
Different guys.
Well, You're on the team, though.
You're on the team, though.
I'm looking forward to this simulcast.
Simulcast will be great tomorrow.
So what was this? So Fourier and Ritchie, didn't they get into it?
No, I think a caller called in today and was trying to give him basically like the John Ritchie, like I played, guys didn't play.
Which is
the old standard. And I guess he did that. Some caller did that to OMF and Fourier's like, well, no, I did play and I played in that Super Bowl. The caller's like,
Oh, my best stuff just went down the
drain. Ritchie and Fourier know each other.
This is
like two buddies kind of catching up.
I don't know if he's as close
as you guys play for?
It didn't play for anybody.
Yeah, he did point out, and correctly so, that none of us played.
That's right.
He played. We didn't play.
That's correct.
They also had a guest, Howard Eskin. I believe you're
familiar. Okay. Howard Eskin.
And he got in on the phone. You want to hear some of that?
Yeah, sure.
What did Howard say?
What's your you've been through the deal many times. What's your take of what's going on here with these EEI fools?
Well, they're a disgrace. They're a disgrace. The media in the Boston area is a disgrace. It's a joke. They're frauds. They're so afraid. Bill Belichick doesn't talk to them anyway. They're afraid he would shut him down. They were afraid that pretty boy Tom Brady would shut him down if they said anything negative. I mean, they can't do anything wrong. They cheated. It's that simple. They cheated. It's been documented. They cheated multiple times. And, John, I think I heard you say this morning, we know when they cheated, but we know that they had to cheat more than they were caught. There's no question they cheated more than they were caught. There was a question, I forget what it was, the commissioner always speaks at the Friday before the Super Bowl. I forget what it was, last year or the year before. And the commissioner came right after some bozo, some fraud from the Sportsnet up there who tried to defend the Patriots in that news conference, and sports Goodell fan. Just drilled them with facts. You know, they don't want facts.
He's talking about Curran.
Tom Curran?
Tom Curran last year.
He was angry. What's his problem?
You just can't leave your balls hanging out there.
No, Curran had said something. Actually, Curran corrected the commissioner. Because the commissioner, this is the thing that he does all the time, or he used to do. I don't know if he'll do it this year. Every time he bring up, hey, you know, was this worth it? Do you have all the information? And say, well, went to federal court and they all agreed with us.
Oh, no, they didn't.
And so Curran corrected him, but then that didn't play well nationally. Play well locally, didn't play well nationally, which is why I always bring up, do you really care? Do you really care?
Oh, what they think nationally?
Yeah, what they think nationally of what you got here. And the only thing, I was starting to agree with him when he said, oh, they cheated. Okay, fine, they cheated. Now when he starts getting into, well, you know it's more than that.
See, yeah, in other words, there were other things.
Yeah. That's when it breaks down. That's when we have problems. We can have a conversation about 2007. If you want me to say they cheated in 2007, got it. Yeah, they cheated. 07, yep. Sure did.
He said all of the Boston media is despicable.
Well.
That seems
harsh. Disgrace. No, a disgrace.
Oh, a disgrace.
They're a disgrace. They're a joke.
He said, there's another guy that doesn't think anybody talks to Belichick.
This is the same city that had Bill Conlon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But
we're a disgrace.
Well, listen, a lot of people. Sure. Well, how about him? What's his story?
I mean, if your team cheats, just admit your team cheats.
What's Eskin's story? You don't have to go that far away.
He seems rather hot take-ish.
Oh yeah, you know something else is happening. That's when we run into problems with the Patriot story. Oh, they're cheaters. Active cheaters, because there's so many things that happen that we don't know about. It's just hard
Come
to
on. You mean like back in 1997 when Howard Eskin was exposed as the, quote, prominent Philadelphia sportscaster, unquote, who sent a dozen roses to a woman 5 days before she was murdered by her husband? The woman had posted a fake profile on a dating site.
Oh, he didn't.
Identifying herself as 25-year-old Brandis. Dale, the note sent with the roses was read during the guilty plea of Raymond Stumpf by his attorney.
Yeah, we got deep here. We got deep. I was going to talk about a show or something. This is taking a turn. Dale's in now. Dale's into him.
He's been known to lead long-term campaigns to have players traded from Philadelphia teams, such as Bobby Abreu for alleged lackadaisical defense and lack of clutch hitting, Allen Iverson for his allegedly selfish play. His last public stunt was organizing a mock funeral to celebrate Terrell Owens' demise with the Philadelphia Eagles during their 2005 season.
I don't like that.
Listen to this.
I don't like that one bit, Howard.
Listen to his evidence here.
They just want their own, fairyland, all the fairy tales that they have. It is a disgrace. And last week, and I know the video's out there, and I think Johnny pointed this out as well, where the official patted Tom Brady or Gronkowski on the back.
Crazy. Congratulated him.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me? The interference play, they are the biggest whiners, babies, frauds, from Mr. Perfect Bob Kraft right down to that stooge who doesn't talk, or that mannequin who might be a really good coach, but he's not a Hall of Fame coach because he cheated.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
We get what you're about.
Hot take.
Wow.
Come on.
Not a Hall of Famer. Okay.
Now, also at noon today.
The interference play?
I don't know. Also at noon today on Facebook Watch, which, again, I didn't know existed until yesterday.
It sure does.
But the first episode, the first in a series of five currently scheduled, but there will be a sixth later on, the first episode of Tom versus Time. Now, this was only 15 minutes long. You can watch it very easily, very quickly on Facebook Watch. And we'll just give you a couple of the highlights here, because Gautam Chopra, the filmmaker, did join us later on in the program as well. This first cut is Tom Brady saying, my life is focused on football and always will be.
What are you willing to do and what are you willing to give up to be the best you can be? You only have so much energy, and the clock's ticking on all of us. And when you say yes to something, it means you got to say no to something else. In the end, my life's focused around football. It always has been and always will be, as long as I'm playing.
What's up? You're so professional. What's up?
I've given my body, my everything, every bit of energy for 18 years to it.
Good to see you.
How are you feeling?
I am doing okay. So if you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
Well, day's good.
Because I'm giving up mine.
Ow.
Hmm. All right, so how would you... See, I would...
Uh-oh. You got a thought here.
How does Giselle think? What does she feel about that? That comment? My life. It's a great quote. See, I'm thinking, first of all, in terms of a quote. Oh, great quote. Awesome.
Maybe this goes back to her kind of wanting him to hang him up.
Yeah, but everything, if she hears him say, everything is devoted to football. My life is centered around football. I'm right here. Hello, yeah. I'm right here.
Here are your children. You also have kids. Yeah.
And yet, there was a great part in this film. Tom and Giselle are driving home after the Patriots' season-opening loss.
Warning. I love this.
This is great. Warning. This is the best part of it.
To the Kansas City Chiefs.
Gets choked up.
And it's Giselle who's trying to get him over the hump here.
You're just...
You're not... You just... We're not in sync yet. You don't know each other. It's like building a relationship. The first time you meet somebody, you're not going to be their best friend. You know, it takes time to get to know people. They're going to get to know you, your looks, and the way you play, and the way you... The things, huh? You're going to get to know them. It's going to be awesome. I know it. Okay?
Sounds like a powerful automobile.
Oh, man.
Sure does. And guess what? She's not wrong. That was after they were 0-1. They just got spanked by the Chiefs.
Just clobbered.
She's like, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And it has been.
I wonder what they were listening to.
I was trying to figure it out.
I was trying to really listen.
It sounded like some Brazilian.
It was a Kanye song, apparently. Rossi's on it.
Was it? Yeah.
It was a what song?
Kanye. It's a Kanye West song.
Oh, was it? What song?
I'm not super familiar with Kanye West, but I know that.
How do you know?
Can we zoom in and see what Brady's presets are? So that's almost is a 93.7 in there.
See if he's got a 93.7.
You cannot give me any advice, so don't try to tell me anything.
Who's that?
It's Kanye.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Brady saying he's still dealing with the 2016 season and missing the first 4 weeks.
I still feel like I'm dealing with last season. All those external things, you know, not playing the first 4 weeks. You know, the way that our team won, you know, over the course of the season, like, I kind of expected those things to happen. I didn't know that it would result in a Super Bowl, but I knew we were a damn good team. You know, I got to see it. I got to see it every day in practice. And I come out to go, damn, we're good. You know, we just need to go do it.
He knew they were good. And we'll just give you one more. Just one more piece here. We'll go with number 10 here, Andy.
By the way, my man, Marcel in Brockton says it's Kanye and Jay-Z. Otis?
Okay. That's the song?
Otis.
I believe you.
Great caller, Marcel in Brockton.
Thank you, Marcel.
Thank you, Marcel, for all that you
do.
This is Brady talking about the 2004-2005 season when he knew he couldn't throw the ball the way he wanted to.
In 2004-2005, I was going through a lot of body issues, you know, bumps and bruises were really starting to take a toll. Got to the point with my right throwing arm where I couldn't throw the ball the way that I wanted to throw it.
Watch that left shoulder. He's had an issue, an AC separation in that one the whole time. And
then Alex Guerrero. So Gotham Chopra joined us today, and we talked about, you know, all the time that he's getting behind the scenes. And Michael asked a great question, and it was about the Seth Wickersham piece. And based on his experiences behind the scenes with Brady and Giselle and everybody else, if he thought the Seth Wickersham piece rang true.
You see anything from your time with him that matched up with what was written in the story?
Yeah, I'm obviously familiar with the article. I agree. Like, but, you know, I also, that it, you know, didn't reflect well on a lot of different people, but I don't know, candidly, like, how accurate it is. And I can sort of compare it with my experience. I give Tom, you know, a hard time and say, hey, do I need to call you sir now? Like, is that like a thing now? We all need to call you sir, which is the complete antithesis of my experience with Tom. I mean, he's the one guy in the world who would never, ever, in my experience, sort of ask those sort of things. I mean, it's really important to Tom to be, quote, one of the guys. And like one of our entire episodes is about that. What does it really mean to be one of the guys? Yeah, I think there were probably a lot of inaccuracies in that. And do I think that, you know, when you've had sustained success at the highest level with strong personalities over 20 years that you guys, everybody gets along on every single thing? No. I mean, I don't think that's, but that came as no surprise to me, I guess. Look, I spent time with Tom last weekend and, you know, around the championship game. I mean, he's as focused as ever. He loves his coaches. He knows they're the best in the business. I mean, again, people see that, like, in terms of, like, the success they've had, you know, from Coach Belichick to McDaniels to everyone. He gets it, and he gets that, you know, that's a product of the collaboration that they've had for this amount of time.
I said to you after that interview, Dale, did you change your mind about how long this guy's going to play?
I never changed my mind about how long he wants to play.
That may go up.
50?
46.
There is no doubt in my mind he wants to play that long. I have doubts about whether he can.
Just physically, you don't think he'll be able to do
exactly.
it. You think it's going to be his arm?
I don't know. All of this year, it was an Achilles, apparently. Now, he was able to battle through it and play through it, but, you know, he's been on the injury report with an Achilles this year.
I mean, he's not going to be the Super Bowl MVP this year. It's going to be Brandon Cooks, but I'm sure for Brandon Cooks to be the Super Bowl MVP,
Scooby-Tolly.
You haven't changed that, huh? Two hours ago, you were going with that.
Super Bowl MVP, Brandon Cooks. 11 or 12, at least 11 catches, maybe more, at least.
11 catches.
Couple of touchdowns. So Tom Brady's going to be very good. Can you imagine a guy being that good at 40 years, and I saw it earlier, 40 years, 185 days when he played a game, something like that. Oldest non-kicker, oldest player who's not a kicker in Super Bowl history. Then he's just supposed to stop? I can't see it. I can't see performance-wise not having it. No, maybe pressure from the family. Maybe
could be a big part of it.
Maybe decides that he wants to do something else. That's not unprecedented. I mean, a lot of people do that in many industries. But if he wants to keep playing, I don't think.
Because what if he's saying 5 years?
I don't think physically he won't have to stop for physical reasons.
He says 5 years. Giselle says, "Hey, I wish last year you hung it up."
Apparently, she was telling Jay Feely to talk him into hanging it up.
So maybe they meet in the middle. Maybe it's 2 or 3 more years.
Maybe compromise.
All right, we'll get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Holly with Keefe Sports Radio WEEI.
You wanted me on your show. I don't know who you are. Keefe. I mean, and Keefe. I don't even remember. Okay, Michael Holly. I know Michael Holly. You other two guys. I am somebody.
Yeah, I've heard of the Holly guy.
I don't know who you are.
The Holly guy's been on ESPN. I don't know who Dale is.
Michael Holly's a great guy.
Is Dale his first name or his last name?
Who cares?
I also am hurt.
My favorite quote, I thought my favorite John Ritchie quote was about 9/11 being the reason why the Patriots won the first Super Bowl.
I know you're going somebody.
Direct quote, I am somebody. Wow.
And I guess he's accusing...
LeBron James would be embarrassed of that, John Ritchie.
Our listeners that jumped on the tweet and said, you know, why don't you back up your stupid opinion with something and attacking him as us inciting a riot against him.
I mean, it's a couple of tweets your way.
Like,
you're
buddy,
a big-time
you
football
said
player.
It.
You should be able to handle it.
You said 9/11 was a conspiracy to make the Patriots champions, buddy.
But he is somebody.
He also said that the Patriots filmed closed-door Eagles practices before the Super Bowl.
Where is he coming up with that?
I do not know.
He was a part of it.
He was on the sideline for that. He was recovering from an injury. But he was there.
With the travel.
At every
party.
Practice. Maybe icing.
See, these guys, this is what's going to happen. They're already lining it up. The Patriots win this game. What are we going to have?
Because of
cheating.
Something. Yeah,
did they cheat the Eagle? Well, according to John Ritchie, they did. They cheated in 2004.
But you were on the team!
But do most Eagles fans think the Patriots cheated in that game?
No.
Or was it more,
I don't think so.
Was it more Andy Reid?
I think Andy Reid
and Donovan McNabb.
Maybe the quarterback throwing up on the field in the fourth quarter.
And taking
literally
his time.
The 3 minute and 45 second drive for their final touchdown.
Their senior senator tried to start a congressional investigation to find out if the Eagles were cheating in the Super Bowl.
That's their senior senator. I'm saying after that game, were
Eagles fans.
Well, but then again, the Patriots weren't known.
They didn't know they were cheaters.
But going into this game, do they think they're going to get cheated in the game? I hope so.
They probably are waiting for
it. Use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
Red Auerbach did.
Somebody.
The late, great Red Auerbach used it to his advantage all the time. The Lakers believed all sorts of stuff was going to happen. with the Celtics. Some of it did. But
I think that happens with the Patriots all the time.
They didn't know where it was coming. So they looked out for everything, got in their heads, messed them up. If this is part of the thought process for Doug Peterson, it's a victory for the Patriots. If he even spends 35 seconds talking about it and 2 to 3 minutes preparing for it, and he sends somebody off to look in all the corners to make sure there are no cameras and the Patriots aren't stealing their stuff, advantage Patriots. I already think it's advantage Patriots. I think the Eagles are a good team. I do. They're really good. They're really good, but certainly not the best team the Patriots have faced in a Super Bowl. And
but you could also say this is not the best Patriots team to be in a Super Bowl.
We'll see. I hear a lot of people saying that about this team.
Really? You think they're better than 04 or 14?
The best? No. Right. Are they the best Patriots team? No, but they're a really good team. I hear a lot of kind of minimizing of how good
Shaughnessy
they are.
Oh, Shaughnessy on with Cowherd. Yes.
Shaughnessy's not the only one. You know, Tommy Curran has said
he's been talking about how average a lot of the players are.
Average.
He's been crushing a lot of the players. That's true. Hey, everybody but Brady Gronk.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Rob's in Quincy. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Robbie, what's up?
Rob,
what's going on, Rob? Fellas?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's on the air?
Hey, just want to talk about how eerily similar this is to the last time we played the Eagles in the Super Bowl. You know, people are talking about how we're getting old. We got a lot of old players, mainly Brady, specifically Brady. Kind of mirrored back with all of our old defensive players when we played the Eagles way back when. But the funny thing is, to be paired with the Brandon Marshall comments, is that next year is probably going to be one of the Patriots' hardest schedules. They're going up against 5 playoff teams from this year, and they're also going to be going up against 4 old either coordinators or players under Belichick. And, of course, that's going to be coming off. Can Brady keep it up if they win? And if they lose, we're going to hear about how Brady is washed up. So just want to get your feelings on that with Belichick a tall order.
Yeah, good points, Rob, especially the last one about the Belichick disciples taking over teams. The one thing that he's been able to do is not stay the same. That's important, especially if you got people who have come out of your system and trying to do what they think is the Belichick way. Well, if you got those people doing the same thing, you're looking for the same types of players, and you're more predictable. But he hasn't been the same coach playing the same type of system the entire 18 years. He switched it up pretty regularly. So I think it's something to look out for, but it won't be a problem.
I'm not worried about the schedule just yet. Things can change. And the thing of, 5 playoff teams. Well, every year you're guaranteed to play 4 playoff teams, and usually it's more.
Yeah, not worried about
that. And one of those is the Bills.
Yeah, you hear it every year. Every year there's going to be, their schedule, either their schedule is really easy or their schedule is difficult. This year it's supposed to be a difficult schedule, right?
Yes.
According to strength of schedule, it was like the 4th hardest schedule in the league.
Well, I mean, the NFC South is good, so you played all 4 of those teams. And then every time you win the division, you play the other division winners. So, yeah, every year their schedule is pretty good.
And every year, also, a team that you think is going to be good falls off. We thought the Raiders game in Mexico City was going to be tough. That really wasn't that tough. The Denver game wasn't tough at all.
Right.
And you thought they were going to be more competitive than they actually were. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm starting to get excited about this game.
Feeling pretty good about
it. Yeah, I'm feeling great about it. And, you know, just
you already picked an MVP on the Thursday.
I got an MVP.
Before,
I got an MVP.
Yeah.
So that means I got a winner, right?
It would seem likely that if you've got Brandon Cooks as the MVP, the Patriots will likely win.
Kind of off the board MVP. I think a lot of people would go with Amendola. They go with Gronk. They go with Brady. And Brady's the obvious choice. I don't want to be obvious here.
No, you want to go a little...
Go with the low-key Brandon Cooks, who I think is going to have some nice matchups in this game. Some deep balls, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, that's the name of his game, right?
Yep, that's right. It's going to happen.
He's not running a lot of short curls.
No. No. He's plus 900 to score the first touchdown, if you're feeling good about that.
I am feeling good about that.
All right.
I'll take that bet.
Okay.
You feeling good about the game, Dale? Mike Lombardi didn't scare you off a little bit?
No. Nope.
Horrendous matchup for the Patriots?
He did not.
They're a 13-3 team now.
They're good. They're good. The Patriots are favored. Is it still 5.5, Keith? You're my guy.
It was. I mean, some places are a little bit less, some are a little bit more, but five. We'll stick with 5.5.
And this offense, another reason I'm feeling pretty good about it, it's not just because Peterson was with Kansas City, and even though Kansas City won this first game, that doesn't define the Patriots' matchups with Kansas City. They played them this year in 2015. They played them this year and had a good start and broke down. They played them in 2015 in the playoffs. Doug Peterson was in control then. They didn't really have any issues with them. Beyond that stuff, West Coast offenses against the Patriots, they are extremely familiar with what the concepts are. I don't have any issues with the Patriots matching up with them, especially with 2 weeks to prepare for them.
All right, here we go. Plus 2,200, Brandon Cooks right now to win the MVP.
Good. So if I put
got
down,
a hunch, bet a bunch.
So right. If I put down $200 on that, not that I would do that, but if I put down $200 on Brandon Cooks and he becomes the MVP.
Yeah, you'd win $4,400.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're feeling pretty good about this.
He has the ninth best odds.
I love it.
Brady won, obviously.
I'm telling you, it's Foles going Gronk. To happen. It's going to happen.
I heard that. They'd feel real good about it.
Yeah, okay.
Final drive is coming up next.
Sports. A little extra change, Dale.
Uh-huh. Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Dale and Holly's Final Drive. Final Drive.
Final Drive, co-sponsored by ARS Restoration Specialists. Regardless of the season, a disaster can hit your commercial, residential, or medical facility at any time. Get an ARS disaster plan in place. Make sure your clients, employees, or tenants are protected. Learn more at arsserve.com. He's back. Vince McMahon announced the reformation of the XFL today. And to remind you what the XFL was once upon a time, here's one of their original promos.
The Rock says he's all psyched about the XFL. Oh, wait a minute. The Rock isn't psyched. He's pumped about the XFL. No, 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 no. The Rock isn't pumped. The Rock is geeked about the XFL. Yeah, that's it. The Rock is geeked. Oh, wait a minute. The Rock was geeked last week, so The Rock can't be geeked now. The Rock is more than that. The Rock says he's cranked about the XFL. As a matter of fact, The Rock is just like everybody else in America. We're all psyched, pumped, geeked, and cranked. So to all the coaches in the XFL, to all the players in the XFL, and on behalf of the fans in the XFL, The Rock simply says, just bring it.
It's more of a Rock ad.
Yeah, really. I was more cranked up about The Rock.
That's what I would say.
So the question now is, how did their new introductory promo go?
This is the future. This is not the past. This is the future, and the future moves fast. This is quicker, simpler, rules, reform. This is your game, safer. This is football, reborn. This is gaming and fantasy. This is padded, roulette. Make a trade, make a team, make a move, make a bet. This is fans above all. This is maximum action. Let's store more ball. Fewer infractions. This begins in 2020. The future is near. More access, more everyone, more everything here. This is our moment, our story to tell. This is history begun. This is the XFL.
Leroy's better.
They couldn't get The Rock?
Everybody's better.
That was tough.
That was not that good. So, Vince McMahon opened the press conference with the following statement.
Our approach to presenting games will be multi-platform, which will allow us to engage fans and customize the viewing experience in ways that were never imaginable just a few years ago. You'll be able to watch the XFL on big screens, mobile devices, and everything in between. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate your interest, and if you have any ideas, please send them along our way because we are listening. The new XFL will be it'll be a game that's reimagined. Reimagine the game of professional football.
Meaning I haven't actually thought of what we're
going to do. I got please send your ideas in.
He said on a big screen and mobile devices like the NFL.
Like now.
Like yeah. On my phone here.
So if you have any ideas, please,
yeah, we're listening.
Please hit us up.
And sorry, Johnny Manziel. Vince says criminals
what?
Need not apply.
I'll take our next question from Jimmy Traina from SI.com.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Vince. How you doing? Will any invites be extended to players like Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick?
Well, I think this. that one of the things when I said the quality of human being is very important and just as important as the quality of the player, what I mean by that is you want someone who does not have any criminality whatsoever associated with them. And in the XFL, even if you have a DUI, you will not play in the XFL. So that would probably eliminate some of them, not all of them. If Tim Tebow wants to play, he could very well play.
You got to have Manziel on this.
Well, Darren Revell just tweeted out seconds ago, clarification, Johnny Manziel has not been specifically ruled out of playing in the XFL at this time.
You need him. You absolutely need this guy. He even tweeted out something about the XFL today. He had like an emoji.
Johnny did.
Manziel did. Yeah, you need this guy. The logo should look like Johnny Manziel. He should be the face of the XFL.
I don't know if I want to go that far, but
who else you got?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, Tebow's the obvious answer, right?
Yeah, Tebow. And you pit them against each other. Two of the greatest college quarterbacks ever. Have them be a
rivalry.
Face
and heel.
Put Tebow in a team in Florida. Put Manziel on a team in Texas. And go from there.
Vince, by the way, big on the national anthem. Had something to announce about that.
We'll take our next question from Tony Maglio from The Wrap.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Vince. Two questions for you. One's just a clarification. My first question is, will you allow nicknames on the back of jerseys again, a la He Hate Me? And number two, because you mentioned the national anthem thing, just to clarify, will it be in the rules that the players must stand for the national anthem?
Well, first question, I'm not sure about the individuality of the He Hate Me. We're not there yet. But it's amazing that people remember that, Rod Smart. The player at He Hate Me, that was extraordinary. Whether or not we do that or not, though, is, again, we're going to listen to football experts. We're going to listen to what the audience, what fans want, more than anything else. I'm going to be listening to you guys as well in terms of what you think is going to be appropriate. As far as the national anthem is concerned, I think, again, it's a time-honored tradition to stand and appreciate the national anthem with any sport here in America, or for that matter, and any country, they do that. So I think it'd be appropriate to do that.
He said it's amazing that people remember He Hate Me. That's literally the only thing people remember about that.
The only guy that they
and
remember.
And He Hate Me's explanation, too. Why do you know? He hate me. They all hate me.
He needs to be like a coach or something, doesn't he? He needs to be back
in
the league.
He's got to be a part of the league.
So what about the player's right to free speech, Vince?
And next we'll go to John Lafayette with BNC.
Oh, John.
How are you going to keep players? You talked a little bit about keeping politics out of this game. Are you going to suspend players if they have political opinions? Is there going to be no free speech?
Well, I think this. You know the rules and regulations. As I mentioned, you're going to have, there'll be a booklet, there'll be whatever it is we can do to make sure that all the players understand the rules, as well as everyone else. We intend for everyone to abide by those rules as far as the national anthem is concerned, which may be where you're going now. I think this, the national anthem is a time-honored tradition that's played to this day and many, many years in the past prior to most athletic events in our country and in other countries. So whatever our rules are is what everyone will abide by. There's plenty of opportunity and plenty of ways in which players, coaches, members of the media can express yourselves in terms of your own personal views as far as social aspects are concerned, whether or not it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But again, we're here to play football. When we come onto the field, we're here to play football. That's everyone's job.
You know, Vince sounds like he's still suffering the effects of the Stone Cold Stunner he took
really
on Monday.
He really does. He's got to fight through this right now.
All right, finally, Vince addressed the issue of injuries and CTE.
We'll take our next question from Jackie Waddles with CNN.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Vince. My question is about concussions and CTE. Obviously, this is a huge point of concern with the NFL right now, and also is getting attention among fans and the general public.
Right.
Do you have any plans or specific ideas about how you're going to keep players safe?
Sure. Reimagining the game of football means you're reimagining it on all levels, as well as safety, and that's what we'll do. And to make this a safe environment, as safe as possible, it's still football, but to make it as safe as possible.
Any specific measures that you can say?
Looking for ideas?
No, not anything specifically than, you know, we're going to bring in experts who are going to help us in all these fields. And as I mentioned many times in my remarks, listening, we're going to listen to those medical experts and heed their advice, again, to make it as safe as possible.
Answer, I don't know.
I give this one season.
Yep, that's it. This is not going to work. You already knew it's not going to work.
Eight teams, they're going to start in January 2020, play 12 games.
Start.
2020.
Taking the under.
Does not happen.
Yeah, you might.
This doesn't happen.
I think they played the one. I think they, just like last time, they played one season and that was it.
Because Vince is too stubborn to not play the one season.
Right.
No matter how much money
they have more
loses.
Time to plan this time than they did last time.
And it didn't help them much, the no planning thing last time. A final drive also co-sponsored by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk with Michael Irvin. And then next Monday, we're headed for Minneapolis. Everkeith is up next with?
With Mutt tonight.
Nice.
I believe. Yes.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye. The Tuck Rule game the day before the game.
And who did you guys play for? Who did you guys play for? Again, I lived this stuff. What did you do?
Anybody see Richie?